We're doing Melachim, we're up to what's called the 15th chapter. And we had seen that the kingdom was divided. The king in the south was Yeravam ben Nevat, and in the north we went from Rechavam to Aviyam, and now to Asa. And Asa is going to be king for 41 years, and he's a big tzaddik. One of the things that Asa did was he removed prostitution, and he removed the different forms of idol worship that were there. Now, he was brought up by his grandmother. His grandmother was Ma'acha Bat Avi Shalom. She's the one that brought him up. And his grandmother, Ma'acha, she had a type of idol worship called Givira. She made for herself, in her position of power, she led people to idol worship. She made a miflitzet, which is a discussion among the commentaries whether it was a type of idol or it was an idol with a like a male figurine that she would be intimate with on a daily basis, and he removed her from it and he burnt it up. Now, the one problem that we have is that people started using a bama, that they used to make their own private altar, which ultimately led them to go astray into idol worship. Because if you're having your own religion with your own altar, so it's very easy to shift from that to idol worship. And that's going to be the constant struggle, where the people are going to repeatedly shift to using their private altars, which leads them to idol worship. And as much as the kings keep the people in line, this is one thing which they do not take care of. And here we start seeing this recurring theme, the abamot lo saru. They did not remove the private altars. Asa was very faithful to Hashem, and he brought up to the temple. He brought up things that he designated to the temple and that his father designated to the temple. And he had a constant war with the king of Israel, the king of the north, Baasha. And Baasha came down and surrounded, he lay siege around the gates of Jerusalem. And by the gates of Jerusalem, he built this tower from which he would throw tremendous rocks into Jerusalem. And what Asa did was he took what wealth he had, the gold and silver that he had in the storage houses of the temple, and he sent them to Ben-Hadad, the Aramean king from Damascus, and he told him, come and attack Baasha. Now, what had happened was that Baasha had initially made a pact with Aramean king, with Ben-Hadad. So Ben-Hadad was being bribed to turn back on the deal he made with Baasha, and he did that. So he sent his governors, and he started attacking the northern tribes. And he attacked Iyon, and Dan, and Aved Bet Macha, and Kinneret, and the land of Naphtali, and he conquered the upper third of Israel. And when Baasha heard he's being attacked from the north, he had to pull back from Jerusalem. So here we start seeing this recurring story where the northern kings will attack the southern kings, and the southern kings will have to buy foreign kings to attack Israel from the north. And Asa saw that he didn't have a choice. He gathered all the people of Judea to come and take apart the towers that Baasha built. And the pasuk says he gathered everyone in Naki. He gathered, no one was clean of this tax. Everyone had to come and help protect the city and take apart these towers. And our sages say this was an error. Chazal say, en naki means that he took even a groom out of the wedding. And even the Tamidei Chacham who were learning, he demanded everyone come to do the work. And Chazal say that was a mistake. He shouldn't have gone that far. Now, in general, Asa was considered a positive king. When Asa became an old man, he became ill in his feet. And the Talmud says that that was a type of illness where people started feeling like there were knives going into their feet. The Talmud calls it podegra. I don't know what that is. And the Talmud says that Asa is one of those who was godly, meaning there were a few people in Tanakh who were given godly gifts. Avshalom had godly hair. His hair was the most beautiful ever. And you see that because he had such beautiful hair, so ultimately he got hung by his hair. He died through that hair. Asa had fantastic feet. He could run like no one else could. And the Talmud says that brought him down. That caused him to have some kind of pride in his capacity to be such a warrior and such a runner. And ultimately he got sick in his feet and he had this illness called podagra, which destroyed his feet. And he passed away and his son Yehoshaphat took the throne. At this time we have, going back in history, Nadav, the son of Yeravam, he was king for 2 years. He continued the sinful ways of his father, leading the people to idol worship. And so now we have a situation where Baasha, from another tribe, he murders the king. And this starts a series of murders, as we will see, that the northern kingdom is now going to enter a state of instability. So Baasha takes the throne, and he not only takes the throne, but he kills out everyone in Yeravam's family. So Yeravam ben Nevat, the northern king who took the kingdom, was completely annihilated. The whole family was destroyed. Now this was a fulfillment of the prophecy. Achiah Shiloni had said that the whole house of Yeravam is going to be destroyed. So this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Baasha is king, remember, in the north, and Asa is king in the south. And we saw how Baasha attacked, and then Baasha was attacked from behind. He was attacked from the north. So Baasha is a problematic king, the king of the north. On the one hand, he fulfills the prophecy and wipes out the house of Yeravam. On the other hand, he himself continues the sinful ways of Yeravam. So Hashem tells Yehu ben Hanani, he tells him, go tell Baasha the following. Being that I uplifted you, I made you king, and instead of doing things right, you did things wrong. You continued the sinful ways of Yeravam ben Nevat, so I will destroy your house just as you destroyed Yeravam's house. And the deceased that die from Baasha's family in the city will be eaten by the dogs. Those that will die out in the field will be eaten by the birds. And Baasha passed away, and his son Elah became king after him. And Elah is king. Remember, Asa, the king of the south. Asa, the Judean king, was king for 41 years. So Baasha was king in his days, and then Baasha's son in the north, Elah, was king, and he was king for all of 2 years. And then Baasha was murdered. Baasha's son was murdered in the north by one of his servants named Zimri, and Baasha was drunk at the time. Zimri killed him and took the throne from him. Now, when Zimri took the throne, he killed out everyone in Baasha's family. So, remember, Yeravam's family was killed by Baasha. Then Baasha died and his son Elah took the throne. 2 years later, all of Baasha's family is annihilated. Now, these are Jews from the north. And Zimri takes the throne. So Zimri takes the throne and Asa is still king in the south. Remember, Asa dies a natural death. He's a Judean king. He's going to be king for 41 years. People hear that Zimri took the throne, so they appoint as their king the general Omri, and they tell Omri, we want you king. Now this Omri is the father of Ahav. Now we're going to see a little period of stability in the north. Omri takes the throne, and the people tell Omri, Zimri murdered our king Baasha. We want you to take care of Zimri. So Omri travels northward and captures the city of Gibton, where Zimri was in hiding. And Zimri sees that he's captured, so he burns down the palace on himself and commits suicide. So Zimri is destroyed. So what we've seen so far, remember, Yeravam ben Nevat, right? Let's review what we see. What? Baasha murdered Yeravam's family. Yeravam's son Nadav was killed, and Basha killed him. Basha's own son was his name was Elah. Elah was murdered after 2 years by Zimri, and Zimri was killed shortly afterwards by Omri. So in the north, we now have Omri, the general, takes the throne. And now the nation had an argument. Who should take the throne? Should it be Omri or Tivni ben Ginat? Now, Omri married the daughter, Omri's son, Yehoshaphat, married the daughter of the Judean king, Asa. So now we're going to have two things. Omri wants to show he's king. You see, the king of the south had his daughter marry my son, and he succeeds. When everyone sees that Omri's son marries Asa's daughter, everyone agrees Omri should be king. But we gain another thing, that the two kingdoms are now united through marriage. And that's why at this point we enter a period of tranquility between the north and the south, because Omri's son marries Asa's daughter, and now there's a unity, as we'll see in a minute. So Omri took the throne, and obviously they murdered Tivni when Omri took the throne, right? No use leaving him around. He's just a threat. So Omri takes the throne. And Omri was king for 12 years. And he purchased a mountain called Shomron from a person named Shemer. And now he's going to build up the mountain Shomron. And this is what's going to lead to the capital of the north being Shomron. Yeah.
In this period of time, when all of these civil wars are killing between Jew and Jew are being carried out, where do they fit?
Again?
Where are the Levim? Where are the prophets that fit into this time period that aren't coming to say, this is wrong, this is wrong?
No one's listening.
The kings themselves aren't listening.
We saw earlier, Yehuvan Hanani came and said, to Basha, you murdered Yeravam, and then you continued in his sinful ways, so you're going to die the same death, and that's what happens. But you have a situation where in the north, the kings are leading the people to paganism. The kings, in order to maintain their power, want the people to go pagan ways, and you have a problem in the north. So there are prophets trying to get them to repent, but it's not simple because the prophets' lives are at risk.
For general Omri, I read that he was a good king, let's say. He was a successful military leader, even defeated the Berman king, which is not so open to happen by that time. But if I remember correct, he was the person that gave to the Jews the right to worship any idol they want.
Omri? The Navi says he was worse than all his predecessors.
Yes.
But it says that... I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not true. I don't know. So Omri names the mountain Shomron after what they believe is the god of the mountain, Shemer. So Shomron is named after Shemer, who's supposed to be the god of the mountain. And Omri leads the people astray worse than all his predecessors. And the people are being led by their leaders to be pagans. So Omri passes away a peaceful death. And that's what we said, we're entering a period of tranquility for the northern 10 tribes. And his son, the famous Ahav, takes the throne in the north. Now, throughout all this time, Asa is still king in the south. Because Asa is going to be king for 41 years. So, Ahav takes the throne, and Ahav is worse than his predecessors. He brings in the idol worship of Baal. He marries a non-Jewish woman, Izebel, the daughter of the king of the north, Sidonim, and he starts worshipping the Baal more than everyone else. He erects an altar for Baal, and he sets up a whole church in honor of the Baal in Shomron. Achav erects an Asherah, a tree to be worshipped. And Achav was worse than all the kings that were before him. Now in his days, there's a man named Chiel from Beit El, and Chiel came to rebuild Jericho. Now, Joshua had said, whoever rebuilds Jericho, when they lay the foundations, their firstborn son will die. As they build it, the other children will die. And when they finish it, and when they set up the doors, so then their youngest son will die. So Chiel starts rebuilding Jericho, and his first son Aviram dies, and he continues building, and child after child dies until his youngest son Seguv passes away when he sets up the doors. So I said a pshat here I heard from my rabbim. I think it's simple. You have to say it. You look at the story, you tell yourself, Chiel, what kind of crazy person would do that? He sees the curse starts coming true when his firstborn son died. What does he keep building for? So I think that we have to say that when he started building Jericho, his first son must have gotten sick with typhus or who knows what. And so when he died, Chiel must have said, I know there's a curse, but there's also nature. He died, it was a natural death, meaning even though it was a fulfillment of the curse, it seems logical to me that it wasn't in an obvious way. Meaning that there was room, Hashem left Chiel room to say, no, people get sick, people die, I don't believe in all this. If Hashem were guiding the world, he'd do other things. He's obviously not guiding the world, this isn't the curse. And he was able to continue telling himself that until he built the doors, and then his youngest son came down with something and died, and then Chiel looks and all his kids died, and then he says, okay, I give up. This wasn't nature. But we're all that way. Very often we have things in our lives that when they happen, we're not willing to see Hashem's hand. We say, then there's nature in the world. Come on, this isn't the first time people got sick. This isn't the first time people died from the flu. We all have things happening in our lives that we say, we attribute to other things. So what he did is normal. To us it seems far-fetched, but the truth is, if we look at ourselves, we do similar things. And so the Gemara tells us, the next pasuk describes how Eliyahu says, I swear there will be no rain until I say so. And our sages say there's a big conversation that took place here. Achav was visiting Chiel Shiva. Chiel was sitting Shiva over his last son. And Achav was there, these two wicked people. And Hashem said to Eliyahu, go visit them Shiva. And Eliyahu goes to visit Chiel Shiva. And during the Shiva call, so Achav and Chiel see the big tzaddik Eliyahu, so they decide to torment him. And so they're going to ask him a riddle and try to stump him. And that's where we'll pick up Mizrachim next week.